Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday. I am rambunctious and well-rested. There is a lot happening today live in Los Angeles. Sunny all week, sunny all year. What am I talking about? It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Justin Herbert, quarterback for the Chargers. You may have heard he likes me. We'll be on the show today. Dwight Freeney, next hour, joins me too. Alex Curry is here. Joy Taylor is vacationing in Italy. Her pictures are amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they are. We'll vicariously live through her photos.
By the way, the Fox family, they're all down in Arizona at a really fancy hotel, and they have these weekends every year where they make all the announcements for the NFL team and the NFL family, and we announce all our broadcasting teams. I gotta be honest, we got good people on the NFL. This network's got we got Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib out there gonna be doing games. Buck Aikman, Burkhart. We got Sanchez and Schlereth, and we got so many good broadcasting teams. I'm just watching some of the announcements this morning. We have so many talented people out there. Speaking of talent, let's start with this. It's Tom Brady's 44th birthday today. What do you get a quarterback that has everything and all the rings? If you wrote a movie using Tom Brady's real life, it would be rejected. It doesn't make any sense. It's fake. This is not the way it works. He doesn't drink a beer during the season. Think about Tom Brady's life. Tom Brady, great family, supportive family, close with his sisters still, goes to college, great brand, and the coach doesn't believe in him and he can't start. The coach likes the other quarterback more than Brady, who occasionally sneaks in and gets starts and shows a resilience to come from behind in the fourth quarter at Michigan. That'll get him drafted. Yeah, it did. 199th player. Sixth round. 7-8 other quarterbacks got picked. Almost all of them utter busts. He then goes to New England. He's backing up a great player, Drew Bledsoe. And he gets his first break, although it's odd. Bledsoe gets hurt. Weird injury. Knocked out of bounds. He wins a Super Bowl in his first year as a starter. The hell? He then goes on to a 20-year dynasty that include the two greatest comeback wins in Super Bowl history. Along the way, he marries a supermodel and raises a beautiful family. Then, after 20 years of dominating, and the team still believes in him, but like any team-player relationship, he moves on. And he goes to a losing franchise that has had a lot of good players, but they've never been able to get the quarterback right. And he goes to Tampa. I covered him years ago. They were a laughingstock at the time. And he wins a Super Bowl in his first year. Wait, the story's not finished. Let's see. Let's make it even more dramatic. Let's throw a pandemic into the year he wins a Super Bowl so he can't practice. What? No, we reject that script. That is not a believable script. Nobody will believe that. He's also 6'4.5", handsome, apolitical, aging in reverse, humble, funny, joins social media, and he's hysterical. All right, here's the script. I mean, what about LeBron? Oh, come on. LeBron was the chosen one. What about Tiger Woods? He was on television at 3, putting it on the Mike Douglas show. This story is hard to wrap your arms around. Just consider this. The Michael Jordan documentary was great for a lot of reasons, But I thought what really made it great is there was so much conflict. Michael was fighting with his owner and his GM, and coaches were fired, and there was Dennis Rodman and players bailing on the team. There was constant conflict. How? Michael Jordan was the best player, the most fashionable, the best looking, the coolest, and he had a battle the whole time. He retires. There's a tragedy in his family. Tom Brady's documentary? There'd be no conflict. Episode 4, Belichick sort of seems to like Jimmy Garoppolo a little more than Tom. That's not going to get you 10 episodes. I mean, Deflategate? Yeah, actually, Tom's been better since Deflategate. That was a con. That story's ridiculous. Tom Brady is so far ahead of any other quarterback. Think about this. You can go look at his numbers. In his 20s, just Tom Brady in his 20s, the numbers say he's a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady as a quarterback in his 30s is a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady celebrating his 44th birthday now in his 40s would be a Hall of Famer. In his 40s, he's 47-14, two Super Bowl rings, averages 31 touchdown, 9 picks, and has 9 playoff wins in his 40s. That's more than Drew Brees' entire career. That's how many playoff wins like Brees and Russell Wilson have in their careers. And did I say and add he's aging in reverse? I can't explain it either. There's literally memes and pictures all over the internet of Tom Brady. He looks now about the same age as Zach Wilson, the rookie quarterback for the New York Jets. Is it avocado ice cream, lack of alcohol, good naps? I can't explain it. But happy birthday to the greatest football player in the history of America's most popular sport. A life well lived that would be rejected as a movie script. So this is interesting. As I'm prone to do, I was driving home yesterday. And a lot of times I just turn on music. I try to escape a little bit from the day-to-day pressures of being America's honesty broker. So I'm listening to some Tom Petty driving home. And I'm thinking about the Nick Foles situation and the Carson Wentz situation. And I'm thinking, you know, you don't want to bring Nick Foles back into Indianapolis now that Carson Wentz is hurt. And I'm thinking to myself, the psychological stuff. And then, I don't know, maybe it was the Tom Petty, maybe it was the drive. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. With Simone Biles, I will defend the anxiety and the stress of an Olympic athlete at 24, representing America, who's already highly decorated. The pressure of one routine. 4 years, 8 years. You heard me all last week. I'll defend athletes, many of them, for the psychological pressure and battles they face. But Carson Wentz is almost 30, closer to 30 than 20. He's been in this NFL now 6 years. And everybody in the NFL knows the game. Next man up. I think I'd call Nick Foles. The more I thought about it and listened to Tom Petty, the more I thought I would just, if I was the Colts, call Nick Foles, who's currently the third-string quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And if you've not heard Nick Foles, he was asked a question about this yesterday. I have never heard a quarterback publicly lobby for a job on another team like Nick Foles.
Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. But I think if he knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. But that being said, they have Carson. And Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And you know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks. So right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
He wants that Colts job. Howie Long once told me the NFL is a league of desperate people. That should include general managers and coaches. These are America's best jobs for executives and coaches. There's not many, and you get fired quickly. The Colts have to do what's good for the Colts. Jim Irsay has to do what's good for the Colts. So does Chris Ballard and Frank Reich. I'd feel bad for Carson Wentz, but I mean, let's be honest. The Colts got him out of an unseemly situation. They did him a solid. Now maybe Carson Wentz needs to do them a solid. Carson's close to 30. He knows the game. The Colts have a Super Bowl roster. They owe themselves a shot at the best quarterback on the market. This locker room, in my opinion, does not buy into Jacob Eason, a marginal college quarterback with zero NFL starts. And Nick Foles, by the way, has a winning record, which is remarkable considering he's a backup quarterback. Quick, off the top of your head, how many backups have a winning record? Nick Foles, I watched him in college live once at USC. He carved him up for four touchdowns and 420 yards at the Coliseum. Has always been as good as his environment. Remember the year in Philadelphia with Andy Reid, 27 touchdowns, two picks? Remember the Super Bowl where he beat Brady and was the MVP? He's not a superstar talent, but he's coachable, and he's always been really good when the coaching is really good. He has glimpses of great, but he's not great unless he has the right mix of support. And that's exactly what the Colts have. Listen, I understand as a sportscaster, feelings matter, anxiety is real, the pressure's intense in sports. But in the National Football League, the Colts have done everything right for years, and they got Carson Wentz out of an unseemly situation. They need to do what's best for them. And what's best for them may be Nick Foles. And again, here's Nick Foles lobbying for the opportunity to be a Colt.
I'm 32. I feel great. The version of me right now is much better than the version that played in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And I'm confident in that. So put that through your mind. I know that. I know what this game's about. You have to have the whole package as a team. Like, you have to have everyone in there. You have top down has to be great. If it's not great, you're going to be mediocre. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And unfortunately, when you're a quarterback, you got to go through a lot of the, you know, baloney.
It's go time for the Colts. By the way, breaking news, Quentin Nelson, the best guard in football, plays for the Colts too. He's got the same foot injury as Carson Wentz this morning. He'll have surgery and, like Wentz, be out 5 to 12 weeks. Jacob Eason, without Quentin Nelson, no NFL starts. Rams' first five games are brutal. Or Nick Foles. I think this morning, maybe it's the Tom Petty in me. I'd go with the latter.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Get more from your neighborhood. Use DoorDash, Summer of Dash Pass. $10 off. Food, alcohol, pet food. Dash Pass. Try it for free. Year-round savings. Terms and conditions apply. So yesterday, NBA free agency, a lot of average players got a lot of big money, a lot of good contracts. So for those thinking the NBA is in danger, I think they're doing fine economically. They're doing just fine. A lot of average guys made a lot of money. Some of it like head shaking, but good for them. I thought one team absolutely, unequivocally got better, the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat got veteran Kyle Lowry, who's good friends with Jimmy Butler. They added P.J. Tucker, stealing him from Milwaukee, weakening the Bucks. If you look at the top seven guys right now who would play for them, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, P.J. Tucker, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, I think. That's a pretty good roster. That's a viable Eastern Conference Finals contender with a great coach, Eric Spoelstra. So that team got better, and they weakened the Bucks. A lot of people think the Lakers got better, and I would say they got older and stranger. They now have six guys over 34. I'm fine with LeBron and AD and Westbrook. Westbrook's not my ideal player, but I'm fine with it. But the rest of it, it's an antique store. You know, you can say what you want about Alex Caruso and Dennis Schroeder and KCP and Kyle Kuzma, but any Laker fan who looks in the mirror and is honest knows those guys made a lot of shots. And those are young legs, and they can play a lot of minutes. All right, Wayne Ellington and Dwight Howard can't. They lost four athletic young guys. Caruso's athletic. Schroeder's athletic. Kyle Kuzma drives you nuts, but he can make shots. So can KCP. They're all gone. I mean, you start looking at these guys the Lakers have, I swear to God, let me read this. Dwight Howard, 7 different teams. Wayne Ellington, 9 teams. Trevor Ariza, 10. Kent Bazemore, 5. Westbrook, 4th team, 4 years. It's like, where's Francis McDormand? This is nomad land. And once again, a basketball team is saying, well, we'll just let LeBron figure it out. No, LeBron's in his 19th year. Not his 9th. LeBron's at the point in his career where he should be building around a team that he can help make it work, not have to singularly make it work. You take LeBron off this roster, it's not a playoff team. AD and Westbrook and Trevor Ariza and the antique store is not a playoff team. So I think the Lakers here went a little too far in getting rid of all the young guys and getting a bunch of old guys. And everybody on Twitter is like, yeah, old guys work in the playoffs. Yeah, they do. But Drew Holiday for Milwaukee ain't that old. And Giannis ain't that old. And Chris Middleton wasn't that old. Milwaukee also had some youth. Okay? Like, let's not kid ourselves. That Laker team that won in the bubble. Yeah, they had LeBron and they had AD. But they had Kuzma. And they had Caruso, and they had KCP, who played very well in the bubble. I think the Lakers swung too far into nomad land, too far into the antique store of the NBA. Is that I understand LeBron is just tired of teaching guys how to play, but you cannot deny that Kuzma and Schroeder and Caruso and KCP, they may have been inconsistent, they made a lot of baskets, and they played a lot of minutes. And young players, when they get injured, they get back on the floor quickly. You bang knees now with Trevor Ariza and Wayne Ellington, they're on the injured list for a long time. There's a lot of miles on those tires. So the Miami Heat absolutely got better. The Lakers got older and stranger, and I thought they swung a little too far into the, hey, LeBron will just figure it out. No, that's not fair anymore. You can't ask LeBron to be super glue in year 19 and make everything stick together. That's not fair anymore. He's got to be part of what makes it work. A big part, a large component. You start looking up and down that roster, though, he is going to have to run the offense. There are nights he's going to have to guard the best guy. He's going to have to play 40 minutes. And I'm talking regular season. Forget playoffs. Because you know AD's not playing 82 games. You know that, right? And Westbrook's now had multiple knee surgeries. He's not giving you 82, although he'll play his butt off when he's on the floor. I thought they got too old. Too creaky. Alex for the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, sticking with some free agency, Chris Paul is staying with the Suns. After opting out of his player option, he reportedly agreed to a huge 4-year deal worth up to $120 million. Now, the deal will keep the 11-time All-Star in Phoenix until he is 40 years old. He's coming off a season where he averaged 16.4 points, 8.9 assists per game, and led the Suns to their first final appearance since 1993. So it seems like he got what he wanted. He has a young team that now has finals experience around him. They have an opportunity to get back if they learn from everything they went through last year. And it's a good deal for Chris.
Yeah, I mean, now it should be noted the 4th year is not guaranteed and the 3rd year is a partial. Mm-hmm. So it's more $90 million than $120 million. He'd have to stay healthy and play a lot of games. But we said this yesterday on the show. It's a good fit. He's needed. Uh-huh. He's valuable.
Yep.
He's bounced around this league for a long time. He makes everybody better. I think this is a great place. His maturity, his intelligence. Devin Booker is still refining his game. So is DeAndre Ayton. I think they went and got JaVale McGee yesterday, so they added some much-needed mm-hmm. size to this team. So, in life, fit matters. Yep. I know we all just think you can just go anywhere, but as Nick Foles talked about 10 minutes ago, the right system, the right support. I mean, don't kid yourself. I love Brady, but it helps that Tampa's got a great GM and coach, and New England had a great coach, and always a great defense. So I think Chris Paul fits mm-hmm. perfectly with a mostly young Phoenix roster.
Yeah, he's a great leader over there. Now let's move on to the Olympics, because Simone Biles made her return to Olympic competition in the balance beam final, and she took home a bronze medal. Now, this is her 7th career Olympic medal, tying the record for most won by an American gymnast. After the event, she said it meant the world to her to be back out there competing and doing it for herself. And what I loved about this was how happy she looked. Just to get back out there and compete again after everything she dealt with her mental health, coming out publicly with the world watching and following, to be able to come back, compete, medal, be this happy. She's an icon. She's a role model. And she's just everything you hope a top athlete could be.
Well, she got what they call the twisties, which in gymnastics means
you lose
yourself.
It's like vertigo.
And it can be dangerous. Yeah. In golf, there's a saying called the yips. When you can't chip, like a great player, it's happened multiple times, can't chip.
Yeah.
And it's like a lead, you know, it's happened to David Duval and Ian Baker Finch, like great Greg Norman. And so when you get that in gymnastics, it's dangerous.
Right. You could risk your life if you go out there. So congratulations to Simone Biles. Team USA is one step closer to winning gold in men's basketball. They started slow and were down by 10 in the first half of their matchup against Spain. But Kevin Durant was the difference maker once again, scoring a team-high 29 points to help his team overcome the sluggish start. Now, the United States went on to win 95-81. Next, they will face Australia in the semifinals on Thursday.
I don't like to criticize other networks, but NBC, you're making it hard to watch this team.
Yeah.
Like, there's like 9 channels. I got to sign up for some of your streaming mm-hmm. services. It's like, can I just watch the men's basketball team and swimming? That's the stuff I want to watch. Occasional boxing. No, listen, they're at this point, they haven't really put it all together against the quality team. Australia's another quality team.
Yeah.
But they're winning on talent. They are better now than they were a week ago. So that's what you can hope for.
And as you said, it's all about the momentum, and their momentum is trending up. So hopefully they win gold.
Yep. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
We got a lot of football stuff today. Dwight Freeney's joining us. Justin Herbert of the Chargers as well. But yesterday was free agency in the NBA, and I thought the Miami Heat got better and the Lakers got older. And Rick Bucher, now Fox Sports analyst, is joining us live, covering the NBA since the early 90s. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I actually supported the Lakers with Westbrook. I said, you know, not every pitcher that eats innings in the regular season you want starting game 6 or game 7 in the postseason. I do think he plays with passion. He plays a lot of minutes. He plays hard. You know, in the postseason, you may have to, you know, marginalize his shots. The Westbrook thing I got, but I looked at the rest of the Laker moves yesterday, and Laker lands tell me how great they are. And Rick, I thought, you know, you can say what you want about Kuzma and Schroeder and KCP and Caruso, but most of them played defense. They gave you an effort. They made shots. I thought the Lakers got too old yesterday. That was just my initial take. Yours?
Yeah, no, certainly the hallmark of last year's team was their defense. Number one in defense, and even though that Anthony Davis missed half of the year and LeBron missed extended time, they were still number one, and that's due to KCP and Dennis Schroeder and Alex Caruso, all of whom received all NBA defensive votes.
Yeah.
And all of those guys are out the door, and they're replaced by players who maybe once upon a time, like Trevor Ariza, were good defensive players, but certainly at this vintage age are not. The most troubling part for me is that Russ Westbrook, you mentioned, plays with energy, plays with effort, all of that. He also plays really fast.
Yeah.
And that's when he's at his best, playing in transition. And you're not going to be able to do that with this team. It kind of reminds me of Team USA beating Spain. Like, Spain had 2 36-year-olds in Marc Gasol and Rudy Fernandez in the starting lineup, both of whom went scoreless. That was an older Spain team that got beat by a younger Slovenia team and then a younger Team USA that was just playing up-tempo. And it's all well and good to say, well, we're going to play a more controlled, poised game with the veteran experience. But that's not the way the game is played during the regular season. And yes, it slows down a little bit in the postseason, but you have to get there first. Yeah. And these bodies being able to survive the tempo at which the game is played with this geriatric, I hate to be insulting, but they were already the oldest team on opening day last year.
Yeah.
And they just got older. And what did we see with that oldest team? They weren't able to get to the finish line in one piece. So, look, I understand why the Lakers would do it. 2 years ago, they had the Dwight Howards and they had all these guys come in who had been Lakers before. And they understood what the legacy of the franchise was. And they wanted to make good on it. And they had experience. And those are the best kind of players for LeBron to play with. Experienced role players. I get the magic that they're trying to recapture in bringing the Kent Bazemores and the Trevor Ariza's and the Dwight Howard's, guys who've already been Lakers and understand what it means to play under that brand. But that said, all of these guys are not at a place where they're trying to prove something. They've already proved something. 2 years ago, you had all these guys that wanted to show, hey, you know what? I've been kicked to the curb. I'm still better than that. And that was something that brought them together. And I just don't, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, and it's the best shot they've got. But if you're asking me, is it ultimately going to work? I can't stamp that.
Let me, it's interesting. So there was a kind of a narrative yesterday where Lonzo Ball got traded to the Bulls, and everybody said, oh, the Pelicans are blowing it. And I looked at it differently. I looked at the Pelicans who were saying, no, Zion's going to be the point guard, and he's going to have the ball a lot. And so that's what we're going to do. And it's easy to go, oh, that doesn't make sense. And I'll get into this later in the show today, but things have changed. Quarterback now, if you have the best athlete in high school and the kid can throw, you just put him at quarterback. That was not the case my entire life. But if the kid's fast and he can run and he can throw, all right, you're the quarterback. In the NBA, it used to be point guards were 6'2".
Is that why you were quarterback?
Well, that was another era. Used to be point guard. 6'2", distribute, mature, don't score. We're getting into a world now with Luka. Giannis has the ball. LeBron has the ball. Jokic has the ball. Best player on the team. Can you dribble the ball? Control the tempo. I look at Zion, and they're saying, hey, he's our best player. When he has the ball on the break, going downhill, nobody can stop him. It's nothing against Lonzo, but basketball's changing, Rick. The labels are gone increasingly, and they just want Zion to have the ball in his hands more. I'm okay trading Lonzo Ball. That was my takeaway.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I have no problem with that, and I like it from the other end, too. I like what the Bulls did in terms of making themselves a solid playoff team by adding Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. That's exactly what they needed. And you're right. It's the point forward has now become a passing big, if you're going to throw Jokic into it. But I think more so this applies to the whole point forward concept, where I'm going to get a guy who, and Zion isn't there yet, but a guy who's just a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
And again, not to reference Team USA, but the difficulty is with us is that that's how we're used to playing. And if you watch the way Doncic plays in international play, it's not the same. We've become ball dominant with a single great player and play everything off of that. So I fully agree with you. It is smart to put the ball in Zion's hands and allow him to do what he does because he is unstoppable attacking the rim. He is a better passer than he was given credit for. And then you just need to surround him with shooters that are going to create that space for him to operate. Now, there are a number of things that he has to get better at in order for this to work. But I have no problem doing that. And, they could have kept Lonzo Ball because he has become enough of a three-point shooter and he is a good defensive player. They could have made that work. but not for the money that they were going to have to pay him to keep him. So it does make a certain degree of sense, and we'll just see ultimately. This is the thing for me, is that everybody is, and we often do this, like we look at the surrounding cast and we look at the coach and the GM and we say, well, they have to get better because you have this great talent. And it's a lot like what we saw with Giannis in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. He's the great talent, but he has to get better too. He has to get better at utilizing all those pieces around him and understanding his strengths and weaknesses. And Zion Williamson has to go through that same growth curve before the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be as good as they can be.
Rick Bucher joining us. You know, it's interesting. I looked at the contracts yesterday. I don't begrudge anybody for mobility, making money. God love all these guys. They put their lives out there. They work their butts off. They get, some guys are overpaid. You know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson were underpaid for most of their career. So to me, get what you can get. Chris Paul's going to make $440 million. God love him, okay? It's interesting, though, is, and maybe this is just the reality of the NBA, that the L.A. Clippers are going to pay $36 million to Kawhi, who's not going to play next year. There's no reason to risk it, even if he's ready to play with 30 games to go. He won't play. For the right to sign another contract with him on a nonverbal player who doesn't really communicate, criticizes your training staff, has a cousin as an agent. And I look at this, and I know this is against the grain on this. I couldn't do it. Like, I could not pay an employee more than anybody else, and just for the right to be in your good graces a year from now. Do you think anybody in Clipperland is saying, what the hell are we doing? We're being held hostage by this thing.
If they are, they're not speaking very loudly, because there are enough people in the room that would look at them and say, what are you talking about? And I understand your trepidation, but they're all in on this. And Ballmer is all in on getting this done. And I believe that the way that the Clippers have formed themselves without Kawhi is the best thing that could have happened. Because when Kawhi came in and he was paid everything and he was the guy that had built the team and I am the cat's meow, I am everything that this team needs, it was too much. He was trying to do too much. He was trying to be too much. They have enough talent around him. I just need him when the game is on the line to give me that mid post, which only he can do. That's where he is unique and exclusive. And so it's a matter of, yes, there are a lot of things that he doesn't give you, but he gives you a couple things that you simply can't get from anybody else.
Yeah.
And now they're in position where Kawhi recognizes, I don't have to do all these things. I don't have to be a playmaker. I don't have to dominate the ball. I just need to provide these certain things. So I think it's worth the risk. And let's face it, for where the Clippers are, never having won a ring, I mean, look at what it does for Milwaukee. And they kept adding pieces and spending money, and they're going to be spending money for the next couple of years. I mean, they borrowed on their future in order to win that ring. If you ask them, was it worth it? They would say without question. And I think that's the same thing that the Clippers are gunning for. So whether it works or it doesn't, I understand why they're going for it.
All right. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, free agency yesterday. A lot of the economy of the NBA appears to be just fine. A lot of money handed out. Good seeing you, bud.
Same.
You bet. So yesterday, it's the back and forth, the seesaw of the Packers. Aaron talks, the GM talks. Aaron talks, the GM talks. Aaron has opinions. The GM defends himself. Yesterday, the GM talked some more about the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers situation, and that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the downsides to being a tough guy with a big temper is you will be lied to your entire life. All you tough guys out there listening on radio, you have a big temper, you yell, you get loud when you argue. Because most people statistically don't want conflict. So they just won't tell you things that would make you erupt. The downside, that's why the great CEOs in America, it's not where they went to college, it's their temperament. Can they accept bad news and not go off the rails? Whenever I see loud guy or loud woman, and whenever things escalate, it's volume. You are being lied to every day of your life. Because people do not want to get into arguments. We know that. We know the things that people don't like. People don't like to speak publicly. A lot of people don't like to fly. They're scared of heights. Most people don't like conflict. They don't like to get into arguments. And Aaron Rodgers is not volcanic, but he's needy and never truly content. And so when Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, didn't tell Aaron Rodgers he was drafting Jordan Love, do you think it's possible he thought, well, what the hell if I did? He still wouldn't be happy. It's Aaron. He's not happy with anything. You think that crossed his mind? You ever been in a relationship like that? You're married, your husband, your wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Not going to be happy if you tell them. Not going to be happy if you don't. I just think I'll pass on it. Hopefully they don't find out. Aaron creates these little landmines and minefields because he's constantly, and this is well documented, a little bit of a grudge holder. Can be a little manipulative. That's not a criticism. That's a reality, and Packer fans would acknowledge that. And so Gutekunst yesterday was talking about drafting Jordan Love. And he came out and said to Sports Illustrated, basically, that, hey, if it was even a possibility to tell him, I would have loved to. But we didn't go into that draft thinking, hey, we're going to target this guy and do this. If that was the case, we probably would have done it. But, you know, I don't know if we'd have done it differently. But as a player like Aaron, in a situation like that, you know, you'd love to give him a heads up, but it wasn't part of our plan to draft Jordan Love. And it should be noted, several wide receivers were picked right before the Packers picked, and so they could use that as an argument. But let's say Aaron did get a heads up. Really? You think he'd be happy with it? Aaron Rodgers and Favre didn't get along for years. And I've never met a player who didn't love Brett Favre. That was strained. And then Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, well documented, was strained because Mike didn't draft him when he was a coordinator with San Francisco. And then a week ago, Aaron listed 12 different players that were treated poorly by the Packers through the years. Funny he didn't mention JerMichael Finley or Greg Jennings because they'd called him out before publicly. Petty, petty, petty. I wasn't the only person who noticed that. He went on to say, Brian Gutekunst, he went on to say, you know, Aaron wants to be given a heads up, but I'll read this to you for our radio audience. He says, well, what if I do give Aaron Rodgers a heads up? What's your definition of input, said Gutekunst. Are you listened to? If you're listened to and a different decision is made, do you still feel listened to? It's a great point, by the way. Or is it just doing what you want? I think there's a difference there. But I do think those guys that have put so much into the organization, it's important they have a little bit of a voice. And I'll ask you again. If you give Aaron a say and you don't do exactly what he wants, you think he'll be cool with it? Come on, man. The loud guy or woman, you lie to him all the time. Because who wants to get into an argument over stupid crap? Aaron Rodgers thinks he's winning. But a lot of times this organization may not bring stuff to Aaron because he's so damn needy. It's just another passive-aggressive shot at the organization through the media and his surrogates. That's the downside to being high maintenance. It's the downside to being a grudge holder. It's a downside to being the tough guy. People lie to you. They're just not going to tell you the truth because you can't have a reasonable opinion. With America guy, can't have a reasonable opinion. You can't talk to him like a grown-up. Everything escalates. And so the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, maybe have just thought, I can give him a heads up. What's the point? I don't want to argue with him over the phone. This thing's live. I got 7 minutes to draft. This thing's... Aaron, we're going to draft Jordan Love. You going to get into an argument? It's draft night. It's your pick. And if you do tell him stuff and you don't listen exactly, he's going to take a shot on 96.5, Milwaukee's best rock, or he'll take a shot to a surrogate or a media buddy. It's the downside, folks, to being high maintenance. Don't be, or you'll be lied to. You'll be avoided. People that are difficult, the studies show most Americans are afraid to fly. Many Americans have a deathly fear of public speaking, and almost all Americans don't like conflict. So if you're high maintenance, very emotional, get loud in arguments, need to be heard, people just avoid you or lie to you or manipulate you. Talk less. Listen more. Lower your voice. Be agreeable. Don't be a guy who's always got to get his way or I'm disrespected. It's an exhausting personality trait. The Packers, I'll defend them here. Maybe they're just tired of arguing over crap and just are going to do what they're going to do and deal with the ramifications later.